CBS Eye on the World with Malcolm Hoenlein. I'm John Batchelor. We're very pleased to be joined by Brigadier General retired Yossi Cooper-Vosser, who is the director of the Project on Regional Middle East Developments at the Jerusalem Center. We go immediately to a headline, an alarming headline in these last days at the Times of Israel. IDF says West Bank raids foiled some 500 terror attacks over the past year. Yossi, peace is at hand, the prosperity through the region, and yet what is driving these planned terror attacks? Who's paying for it? Good evening to you, Yossi.
Good evening, John. Good evening, Malcolm. What's driving it? First of all, there's a deep commitment to the Palestinian narrative of struggle against Zionism that is being fed by the Palestinian Authority, by the other terror groups, the Fatah, the Hamas, Palestinian Islamic Jihad, Palestinian Front for the Liberation of Palestine, whatever have you. They're all feeding the Palestinian youth with this message that they have to be committed to an ongoing struggle against Israel using violence and terrorism. And no wonder that most of the Palestinian young generation are ready to be involved, and they are under the feeling that they have to be involved in that. And we have to remember that this narrative is also being supported by the Palestinian law that says that anybody who is involved in terrorism against Israel is going to be nicely paid for that, according to the pay for slay law that the Palestinians have. So you just gain out of being involved in terrorism against Israel. And since, according to their view, if you pay even the ultimate price for that, you're still guaranteed a place in heaven with all kinds of benefits. They don't see any problem with being involved in carrying out terror attacks against Israelis. And we have to act in order to prevent those attacks. On top of that, there's this feeling that the Palestinian Authority is getting weaker. And the idea that the Palestinian Authority has led for a while of focusing on popular resistance, namely terror without the use of firearms, is losing its role in its position inside the Palestinian community. And that's why more and more of the Palestinians are ready to move to using firearms in their terror attacks, and even using explosive charges, as we saw in Jerusalem some time ago, and a week ago. And that's a trend that we are witnessing. And of course, Hamas is supporting it with its efforts. Iran is behind it in a way that the Iranians are trying to convince the Palestinians to get involved in this kind of terror as well. And the combination of all of that leads to a rise in the terror attempts that forces Israel to take much more action in this, in the context of this operation Waves Breaker. And we have to foil many, many terror attacks, 500 in the last year, right? This was published.
Malcolm?
So let me ask you some quick points. One is, what is the reaction of the Palestinian Authority? Two, is the threat of an intifada real? Do you see the evidence of that information? And has, you mentioned Iran, is Iranian and Qatari money still flowing to the forces of violence?
Well, yes. First of all, Iranians is there. Money and guidance and incitement, all of that is there. Secondly, the Palestinian Authority, well, on the one hand, they are concerned because this means that they lose what is left of their ability to control the territories under their responsibility. On the other hand, they are totally committed to this struggle against Zionism, just like those who carry out terror attacks. So they feel some sort of solidarity with them. They praise their activities. They look at them and present them as heroes, and as it states stated in this law that I mentioned before, they see those who carry out terror attacks as the fighting sector of the Palestinian society, and they behave like that. And of course, this doesn't go along with the idea that stood behind establishing the Palestinian Authority, that they will fight against terror and make sure that we move towards peace. This is, has nothing to do with what they are doing right now, unfortunately.
We read these names of groups that are formed with photographs of them carrying weapons and their faces covered. Lion's Den, Nablus Battalion, Balata Battalion, Wasp's Nest. What are they? This sounds very romantic, almost magical thinking. Does this puff them up in some way that they needed? Or is that what you mean by they're weaker so that they're being more demonstrative of their aggression?
Well, it's just, nothing more than creative efforts to make themselves more attractive to the Palestinian youth. It's nothing more than that. It's, actually, there are people who are partly affiliated with the terror groups in those areas, mainly the Palestinian Islamic Jihad and the Fatah group. Also, Hamas people are involved in that, and they operate in a way that puts the terror groups, the non-terror groups, the organizations, at a deniability position, where they can say we are not directly involved in that, but in fact they are supporting these groups, and they are considered to be the representatives of all the groups at the same time. We could have seen today, this morning, Israel in an operation in Jenin killed two key figures in the Jenin battalion, and one of them is known to be a Fatah person, Subedi, and the other is known to be an Islamic Jihad person, Saadi. And the announcement about the death were a joint announcement by the Fatah and the Islamic Jihad under the name of the Jenin Battalion. It's the same groupings that are operating. We shouldn't be too much fascinated by the creative minds that are expressed in their names.
We have a couple of minutes, Malcolm.
Quickly, why is Nablus a center? And are you surprised that we haven't seen more reaction from Gaza or elsewhere to this? Do they not want to bring the heat down on them and just use these people as representatives for them as well?
Nablus is a place where there is a presence of youth that is committed to terror more than other places. Nablus and Jenin, by the way. And it's usually been dominated by Hamas, especially the northern part of Nablus is dominated by Hamas. In Jenin, the presence of Islamic Jihad is well known for a long time. It's nothing new, both in the Jenin refugee camp and in the villages around Jenin. And the Islamic Jihad is very, very strong and very influential.
We have 30 seconds. It's a tradition. 30 seconds. Go ahead.
This has been the case for a long time, but don't be misled. In other parts, like in Hebron and the areas between Hebron and Bethlehem, you can find the youngsters, Palestinian youngsters, who are affected also by the same ideology. And of course, in the Gaza Strip, they are also affected by the same ideology. And we see, by the way, that they keep preparing themselves for confrontation, including building these tunnels underneath the UNRWA schools over there. And nothing has changed. I don't think that we're going to have an intifada. But the fact that we are this generation has not experienced the second intifada. Creates a bigger chance of a rise in the confrontation, in the level of confrontation, even if it's not a full intifada.
Yossi Cooper-Vasser of the Jerusalem Center, Malcolm Honlein, Conference of Presidents. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.